in Exodus chapter 29 this morning. So if you haven't already gotten your Bibles turned there, please do so. We're going to look at verses 1 through 21 this morning. It's Exodus chapter 29, verses 1 through 21. You know, my brother in the scripture meditation time, just looking at Solomon and life is vanity. Everything's vanity unless it's about the Lord. That's the reason He's created us, right? And the reason He saved us is that our whole life be into Him. And He asked that question, what's your life like? And He talked about that battle of back and forth. And, I find myself that what has happened more often than not when I'm living for the glory of God versus when I'm not is I haven't done what we just sang. I'm not turning, and my eyes aren't on Christ. That's my point. You know that whole song, turn your eyes on Jesus. And we're not talking about these eyes, right? We even sang in a glorious Christ. Even though we can't see you, we know where you are. We're talking about eyes of the heart. Because where the heart goes, we go. We're ruled by this heart, and this heart's deceptive and wicked. We need the Lord to grab a hold of it and control it. And that happens when our eyes of our heart are turned upon Christ. So I pray that, as we go through this passage, that this feeds your soul and equips you and helps you to turn your eyes on Christ. I don't know where you are now, We're here on a Sunday morning. We've all come out of who knows what in life on Saturday. I always perceive, we're always in different places. Sometimes we're, I pray that this word enables you and equips you to see Christ. And so that when you walk out of here, you're better equipped to do what God's called you to do with your life. And that's live for Him. So let's turn and see what God has for us. What does He reveal to us about Christ today? Because He always does, right? Y'all learned that, right? It's all about Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Verse 1. Now this is what you shall do to them, to consecrate them, to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them out of fine wheat flour. And you shall put them in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. And you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. So you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. And you shall slaughter the bull before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar and with your finger. And you shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its hide and its refuse you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take the one ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram and shall take its blood and sprinkle it around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into its pieces and wash its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and its head. And you shall offer up and smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the lobes of his son's right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, and sprinkle the rest of the blood around on the altar. Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons' garments with him. So he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are our Creator. Help us to grasp what that means. Humble us. Help us to see that we're mere creatures. We've been made out of dust by you. We have no power, no life without you. Humble us. Help us to see the power, the authority, the loving kindness, the righteousness, all that is good, that it dwells in you. And you who are so far above us have created us, these little creatures, for a purpose. Help us to see the purpose, Lord. Spare us from the folly of living for ourselves. Lord, that you would create us and then we would refuse to hear you and we go off after our own hearts. Vanity. All is vanity. Help us to see, Lord, your glorious purpose and that all that is good and right and all that we could enjoy is actually in you and what you've set us apart for. So give us wisdom through your scriptures, Lord, to see it. Let us see you. Let us see the Christ and what it took for this to even happen. Lord, you are marvelous in our sight. Let the whole world stand in awe of you as we read in your word. Help us, give us eyes of faith to see it. But Lord, you say, verily, verily, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I fully believe that to in part mean that no one can really see the truth of these things because of their sin unless you give the Spirit of life. Father, for those who have never seen these things through the eyes of faith, may you give them faith today. Pour out your Spirit. Save where there is no life. Lord, redeem. Set apart more for your glory, for your purposes. That's why we're here. Not just on one day a week, maybe an hour, maybe two. Every hour of every day. Lord, the angels praise you day and night. And they don't regret a moment of it. Help us. Give us right hearts sprinkled by the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you've heard often said probably, a picture is worth a thousand words. And all that means is that a picture often conveys an idea, right, words cannot. It comes more quicker and it becomes better explained through the picture itself. You view the picture and you can grasp the meaning of it. What otherwise would take thousands and thousands of words to express the same thing? We can learn a lot through pictures. They can teach and they speak. Well, as I go through the Old Testament, man, I really see how God, he really did teach a lot through pictures. Now, not pictures like we think of, right? They're not photo images, not digital images. But God taught through real physical, tangible pictures, realities meant to convey ideas that go far from just the physical earthly realities. Physical realities like the tabernacle. Physical realities like the priesthood. Now, as we turn to our passage today, I think we have one of those pictures. What we have in our passage is this ceremony that God instructed Moses in. A ceremony which was to consecrate Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. You know what it means to consecrate? To set apart, to sanctify, to ordain. All these words are referring to the same thing. And you'll see them in and out the passage, right? And what I believe God's done in this consecration, you know, we saw the instructions for the garments, but now these are instructions for the people who would wear them. What I believe God's done through this ceremony, among other things, is He's given us a beautiful picture of what God does for all His people in salvation. See, what God does ritualistically for these priests here, God does for us realistically in the spiritual realm. And for all those He would save. And so, what I want to do as we go through this passage is I want, okay, what do you mean? Well, I want to look at the ways we can see what God does for us and what He does to the priests. And so we're going to look at five ways we can see our own salvation through this consecration ceremony of Aaron and his sons. You follow me? Five ways we can see our own salvation. What are they? Well, the first way we can see our salvation is in this consecration ceremony of the priest, is we can see how God cleanses us. How God cleanses us. Look at verses 1 to 4. Now, this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull, two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them of the fine wheat flour, and you shall put them in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Now again, this is a consecration ceremony to make Aaron and his sons fit for the priesthood. Right now they're not. See, they're going to minister to a holy God. That means they've got to come into the presence of a holy God. That means they must be set apart as holy because right now they're not. That's what this ceremony is all about. What's it take to make these priests holy? So that they can minister to the Lord. So, God instructs Moses first, this is what you'll need. Get everything you need. Gather it up. You're going to need some animal for sacrifices, right? The bull, the rams. Bring them together along with some cakes, some unleavened bread, some unleavened cakes. Once you've gathered it all together, now take all these things and you go get Aaron and his sons and you bring them where? To the doorway of the tabernacle. Isn't this a fitting place? This is where it will all take place. This points to a couple of things. One, this is a fitting place because who are the priests? Well, they're the mediators between who? Between God in the tabernacle and the people outside. So they are ordained and consecrated in a place in which they symbolically lay hands on both, which is what a high priest does, what our high priest does. It brings the people and God together. But this is also fitting that it must take place here because until they're consecrated, they can't go in this doorway. They can't go and enter the holy presence of God. They first must be made holy. That's where this comes in. So what's the first part of this actual ceremony? Very simply put, in the last part of verse 4, what? They are washed with water. Now what's this pointing to? Well, this is symbolically pointing to the truth that Aaron and his sons need to be washed clean from their filth. From their filth that is their sins. Before anyone can enter the holy presence of God, their sins must be cleansed from them. Our sins make us dirty. Our sins, like our profane language, our angry thoughts, our sexual immorality, our selfish ambition. All right, there's enough, isn't it? Selfish ambition. Weighty, filthy, unclean. This is what makes us unfit to ever enter the presence of God, though He is who is holy, because we are dirty, filthy in our sins, and therefore a person must be cleansed from their sins. And so Aaron and his sons being washed with water is symbolic of the truth that God must cleanse them and must wash them from their sins. Now, just seeing this, I don't know if you picture this. I like to picture these things in my mind because, you know, the people got to see this. This was a physical picture. This should remind us, really, of, as Christians, of our own baptism. Christian baptism, right? The symbolic of many things. You know, we often hear us talk about, well, it represents the fact that we are dead and buried in Christ, and we are. The old life is gone, and we are raised again to new life. But, you know, it also symbolizes the truth that we are cleansed from our sins when we're in Christ. Acts 22:16 points to this. This is when Ananias goes to Paul when he first has his conversion experience, and he goes and lays his hands so the scales fall off. Ananias says to him, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Now, as I've intimated, right, our baptism, nor did the washing of the with the water by the Moses upon the priest, did it truly wash away sins, did it? It just symbolically points to the fact that we have to be cleansed. Water will never wash away our sins. We can't wash away our sins with water or soap or lye or gasoline or anything. We can't remove sins from us. They are a stain that is not able to be removed by us. It must only be removed by God. He must do it. He's the one doing this thing, right? This is symbolic of what God would do to these priests. Only God can cleanse us from our sins. And He does so with the only thing that can take away our sins, right? We sang about it this morning. And, you know, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is the only thing that can effectually cleanse us. So you get a picture of what God does for us in salvation just through the washing of the priests before they can go into the holy place, that is, into the presence of God. They first must be washed from their sins. It's the same that's true for us, brothers and sisters, before we can be made fit for heaven and actually enter the holy place, the place which God dwells. We must be cleansed from our sins. That means we must be washed in the blood of Christ. Because His perfect, righteous blood is the only thing that will remove sins. Though they be as red as scarlet, right? They may be made white as snow. We must be washed. And so we get a picture. If you're in Christ, this is what He's done for you. You didn't do it. You didn't wash yourself. But the Father did, who saw fit to put His only Son to death, to shed His blood, to provide that which washes you clean of sin. So in the consecration of the priest, we can see what? Our own salvation, when we see how God cleanses us. That's the first. What's the second way? We can also see our salvation through the consecration ceremonies because we can see how God clothes us. Look at verses 5 and 6. And 8 and 9. What you see in those verses is that the next part of the ceremony was that Aaron and his sons were to be clothed in the high priestly garments, right? At this point, once they're washed, Moses was to ceremonially put on the garments that we just went through for 3 weeks in Exodus chapter 28, right? The holy priest attire and the priestly attire. And as we saw in verse 2 of that chapter, what were these garments? They were holy garments for glory and beauty. So what is this a picture of, brothers and sisters? This is a picture of God. Yes, He must wash us, but then He must clothe us in holiness, in righteousness, which is represented by these high priestly garments. See, again, the high priest, they must be made holy before they can enter the holy presence of God. Therefore, they must have holiness put on them. They can't put on holiness. It's not in them. But God can and does, and it's symbolized here through the fact that Moses puts on the high priestly garments before they can go in. Does God do the same thing for us? If the priest can't go into the holy presence of God without first having holy garments on, can we? No, we cannot. See, that's what we must understand. I think it's what's so absent from the gospel. We can't possibly enter the presence of God unless we are dressed in righteous robes, holy garments Because only holiness can enter the presence of a holy God. Therefore, God must clothe us. And we talked about this last week. This is exactly what God does for us in Christ. Yes, we must be washed. And He does. When Jesus went to the cross, He shed His blood in order to forgive us of our sins, but then He also gave us His righteousness. He imputed to us. He clothed us in what we need to enter the presence of a holy God. So you get a picture of what God does for us here is, yes, He washes us, but then He clothes us in Christ. It's exactly what Christ did when He went to the cross. See what God did for you in salvation. Can you do this? No. But God can, and He did, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect one. You see the holy priest garments? They were just symbolically holy. But with Christ, we have true holiness. Therefore, we have the great assurance that we have what we need to enter into the presence. We can enter boldly. We have the proper wedding garments on to enter the wedding feast. This is what God's done for you. If you're in Christ, He's cleansed you and He's clothed you in the righteousness of His Son. Doesn't stop there. What's the next way? What's the third way? That we can see our salvation through the consecration ceremony. Well, we can see how God anoints us. Look at verse 7, very simply. Then you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on His head, and anoint Him. See, what this meant is that Moses had to take this anointing oil, which we'll see a little later. God even told him exactly how to make this anointing oil. Had to be specific. And he took it and he poured it upon the head of Aaron only. And he poured it out in good measure, so much so that it ran down on his beard and on the collar of his robes. This is how it's described for us in Psalm 133. And this is symbolic, brothers and sisters, of God anointing them with the Holy Spirit. See, those whom God sets apart for His service, He anoints with His Spirit in order to consecrate them and equip them to do the work for which He's called them. You may remember God doing this all throughout the Old Testament. You may remember how He did this for David. Do you remember when He sent Samuel to Bethlehem to seek out the one God had chosen to take Saul's place as king? This is what it says there in chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. It says, so he, that's Samuel, sent and brought him, that's David, in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. See, what God's symbolizing here is that when He sets His people apart, He doesn't just let them be to do what He called them to do in their own power. He anoints them with the power of the Holy Spirit to do what He's called them to do. This is exactly what He's done for us in salvation. This is why His Spirit comes upon all those who are in Christ. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit. He pours His Spirit out upon us. It even says in 1 John 2:20, we are anointed by the Holy One. See, we need the Holy Spirit not only to come and quicken us, but He comes and indwells us and equips us and gifts us for the work of His service. As it says in 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Who anointed us? God. How did He anoint us? By sending the Holy Spirit upon us. If you're in Christ and He saved you, He has anointed you with His Holy Spirit. Just get a picture of that, right? We call it indwelt. But He gives us the Spirit within us to do what He's called us to do. If you're His, you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You've been set apart by the Spirit and you've been gifted, enabled by the Spirit to do His work. So you can see through the service of consecrating the priest how God cleanses us, how God clothes us, how God anoints us. Now that brings us to the fourth way. we can see God, how he saved us, what he did. We can see how God atones for our sins. How God atones for our sins. Look at verses 10 through 14. 10 through 14. The next part of the consecration ceremony involved the use of the animals that God asked Moses to gather. There were three sacrifices to be made. And the first sacrifice was a bull, wasn't it? And we see this bull was to be slain as what? It tells us at the end of verse 14, this was a sin offering. This was for the purpose of atoning for the sins of Aaron and his sons. And we see that this blood was then taken and put upon the horns of the altar and then sprinkled around the altar. This also helped to sanctify the altar itself, as all the sacrifices would. All these sacrifices point to the atoning work for sin, but this specifically is the sin offering, and this would help to set apart the altar so that whatever was sacrificed on it would be accepted. Then you see that with this bull, right, all the unclean parts were what? They were to be taken outside the camp and burned. The rest of it was allowed to be put on the altar and offered up to the Lord. Why did it have to be taken outside the camp, that unclean part? Because this is a sin offering, and with sin there's a curse. And so the curse must be dealt with outside the camp of God's people. Boy, this points to Jesus, because Hebrews makes that connection. Where was Jesus crucified? He was crucified outside the camp. It even uses these words. How was that so? He was taken outside Jerusalem, outside the city gates. And he became a curse for us for our sin. This is how God atones for our sins, is through the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. And you really get the significance of this atoning sacrifice by looking at what the priests do with the sacrifice. What did they do before the animal was sacrificed? They laid their hands. They gathered around this bull. Get that picture. And they all laid their hands on the head of this bull. Well, why did they do that? This symbolized the truth that their sins and the guilt for their sins was what? It was being placed upon this animal. They were identifying with this animal. This animal would now become their substitute. Their sins were imputed, transferred to the bull. Then once it was seen that the bull had now taken on their sins, they would now sacrifice the bull, because he had now taken Aaron and his son's place. And therefore, he would suffer the penalty that Aaron and his sons deserved for their sins. The bull took its place, and it would be put to death in their place. This is what we call substitutional atonement, right? Substitutionary atonement. Commentator Phil Ryken describes it like this. What happened to the sacrifice is what should have happened to each sinner. As priests watched the bull burn on the altar, the bull on which they had laid their own sinful hands, they realized they were the ones who deserved to die. God was executing his death penalty against their sin. But in his mercy, he allowed the bull to serve as their substitute, dying in their place. This is how God atones for all our sins. Except not by a bull, who cannot take away sins, but by his only son. And when God gave his only son, he gave us a sacrifice, a substitute, by which we can have our sins laid upon, and he suffers in our place. When we see Jesus on the cross, we should see what we should suffer. But he took our place. Took the place of all those who are in him. Now, before this can be true, you must do something. You must, by faith, stretch out your hand and place it upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must, by faith, transfer your sins on him. You must see the truth that God has provided you a substitute and has invited you to lay your sins on him. And that Jesus effectually died, suffered the wrath of God in your place. This is what it means to trust Jesus as the atonement for your sins. Have you ever done this? Have you by faith reached out, put your hand on that sacred head? The head covered with the crown of thorns, blood pouring from every part of his body. God provided him as your substitute. You deserved it. He did not. Yet he offers him up in your place. This is how God atones for your sins. Your sins have to be punished. Your sins have to have the wrath of God poured out on them. Therefore, he provides his only son to do that. Will you not reach out and trust him today? Jesus is your substitute. That's how God atones for your sins. Put your faith in him. So we see, don't we, how God atones for our sins, how he clothes us, cleanses us, anoints us. Lastly, I want you to see how God sanctifies us through this ceremony. Or how God consecrates us. Same thing. It's in the remainder of the verses 15 to 21. You know, as I said, there's three animals to this service, this ceremony. And the first one was the bull. It pointed specifically to the atonement for sin. But now we have these two rams. Well, what are they about? Well, the first one, as we see, is a burnt offering. Well, what did that mean? That meant the entire animal was placed upon the altar and committed to the flames. That means the entire animal was consumed by fire before the Lord as a soothing aroma, as an offering, as a sacrifice to him. What did that mean? Well, that represented the truth of how the priests were now offering themselves to God as a complete and total dedication of their life and their being to God. Here's my life, Lord. It's an offering to you in order to fulfill the service that you've called me to. So that's the first one. It's in conjunction with the second ram. What's the second ram? This is unique. This is called the ram of ordination down in, I believe, verse 26, later in the passage that we'll see next week. And this was unique to this ceremony of consecrating the priests. And they would continue to have the ceremony down through the ages as new high priests would have to be ordained into the office. But what it represented was this was the animal for sanctification. They would take the blood of this animal, right? Which again points back to the blood of Christ because it takes Christ and his work on the cross to do this. Everything's done to us by God because of what Christ did, including our sanctification and our consecration. And so he would take this blood, and what did they do with it? Well, they sprinkled it on all their garments, and then they took it, and they put it on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe of Aaron and his sons, which the blood applied to the extremities of the body especially points to the truth that God had now set apart these men completely and totally unto him for his service. From the top of his head to the tip of his toes, Aaron and his sons belong to God. They're now his to do what he has called them to do. Now their ears are now sanctified. They are to hear what? The word of God. Now their thumbs and their hands are now sanctified, set apart, what? To serve God and labor in what he's called them to labor in. And now the toes and the feet have been sanctified, set apart to do what? To walk and to go and to follow after God where he tells them to go and nowhere else. See, the entire priest, the man, the whole man, every part of his being has now been consecrated, set apart to God to do his work. And what I want you to understand is that's exactly what God has done to us in our sanctification when he saves us. He has set us apart for his holy purposes, to live our lives unto him. No different than these priests. Now you may say, well, I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm sanctified. Yeah, he sanctifies them, but not exactly like these priests. Maybe preacher, you're a, you know, maybe preachers, Maybe missionaries, they're kind of like those priests, but not me. I'm just a layman, just not set apart like that. Well, what I understand is you are. Did you know that God puts the label of priest on every believer in the New Testament? That's what he's doing. He's letting you know what he's done for you. He sets you apart just like these priests. That's why he cleansed you. That's why he clothed you in the righteousness of his sons. This is why he anointed you with his Holy Spirit. This is why he put his son to death as a sacrifice for you, to set you apart to serve him for his glory. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 says, he has made us to be a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. Revelation 20 verse 6, we are called priests of God and of Christ. When God saved you, he set you apart to serve him just like he did these priests, totally from head to toe. God has put the blood of his son on your ear, on your thumb, and on your toe to be set apart for his service. So now your ears have been sanctified. They've been consecrated. What, to what end? To hear the word of God and to listen to his voice and to obey it. Not the voices of your friends. Not the voices of the world. Not the voices of YouTube videos. Not the voices of music. Not any other voice except the voice of God. God has put the blood of Christ on your thumb. Why? To set apart your hands. To serve him. To labor and do that which he's called you to. To wash feet. Not to go and grab after everything your heart may go after. Your hands are his. What are you doing with your hands? He's put the blood of his son on your toes. Your big toe. All over your feet. Why? Set apart your feet to walk where he says to go. If he says go here, we go there. We go where he says go. If he says go here, we go here. If he says go there, we go there. Where do you walk? Who determines your steps each day? You know, it's real tempting just to seek God. Say, Lord, is this okay? You know what we're saying is, like, look, is this sinful? Is this okay to do? Right? That's not what sanctification of your feet, your hands, and your ears mean. No, the question is, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? What is it you want me to do with my hands? Not, is this okay? Am I not offending you? You see the difference? The difference is following God versus following ourselves and trying to stay behind the line so we don't get scorched by his wrath. This is one's faith and one's not. God set us apart to serve him for his glory. And that means he sanctified you from head to toe. We're priests. There's no getting around it. Let us serve God according to this holy calling that he has set us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have done a mighty work. Lord, help us to see what it took to make us fit for heaven. You had to cleanse us in the blood of your Son. You had to clothe us with his righteousness. You had to anoint us with your Holy Spirit to make us able to do anything that you wanted us to do. You had to atone for our sins by providing your Son. It's a perfect sacrifice. Well, Lord, why did you do it? To make us yours. Help us to see that. Help us see our lives are not our own. We say that. What does that mean? Well, that means that my decisions aren't mine. They're yours. So, Lord, help me to do what we sang about earlier, and that's turn our eyes on you. So, Lord, if our eyes are on you and the eyes of our heart are on you, then we're asking you, what do you want me to do? We're not trying to devise in our own wisdom and our own strength and our own hearts what we think might be good. We don't know what's good. That's the problem. Father, you do. Help us completely to give ourselves up on your altar as a burnt offering. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you because this is what you've set us apart for. May you make it real in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.